Well, good morning. As most of you, I'm sure, are aware, last week we finished up the book of Nehemiah. It was a great study. A lot of my heart is right there of rebuilding a city within a city, and I hope that you were blessed by that. If you didn't like it, good news for you. We're out of the book of Nehemiah, and we are now beginning a new study, the book of Galatians. Wow. Oh, yeah. This is an incredible, incredible book. In fact, one of my heroes of the faith, the great reformer Martin Luther, actually refers to the book of Galatians as his Katie. Katie was his wife that he married. He is so in love with this book. It changed, and it is what helped spur on the Protestant Reformation, is Martin Luther diving in specifically to Scripture, but also even more in-depthly to this book of Galatians that just transformed how he viewed his faith and what God had done. So I hope that that you guys are excited as I am, and that you really get blessed through this series. That being said, let's take a moment to pray, and then we will dive into our passage. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that we would encounter the gospel in a way that we have never encountered it before. Lord, for those of us who know you and know your gospel well, Lord, we pray that we would be challenged to get back to your gospel. Lord, thank you for your son, for his sacrifice, and the fact that we aren't here today just reading words and hoping that it works, but knowing that you send your Holy Spirit to change and transform us as we encounter your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we'll be looking at the first 10 verses of Galatians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. If you don't worry about it. We're going to have it up on the screen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to disrupt or distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man? or of God, or of trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Little bit of background. He starts out by introducing himself. This man is Paul. Paul was not originally his name. Instead, his name started out as Saul. He was a Jew. He was a devout Jew. He had no inclinations to love Jesus or be a Christian. This man hated Christians like few have ever hated Christians. This man hated Jesus like few people have ever hated Jesus. He thought that Jesus was a messenger from Satan. He thought that Jesus was a false prophet. So much so that he was a part of the persecution of the church. Many of you will remember from early on in Acts, one of the first deacons is a man named Stephen. And this Paul that wrote this book, wrote this letter, was there the day that Stephen got stoned to death. And what he did was he held the cloaks of the men who were stoning Stephen so that their robes would not get dirty. After that, he continued to persecute, to find, to seek out Christians, have them imprisoned and put to death. So what happens? What brings a man from violently hating Jesus and violently hating Christians all the way as far in the opposite position and far in the opposite direction as you possibly can, where he becomes a pastor to Christians, where he is preaching the weddings and funerals of some of the family members of those he helped murder and imprison? What brings a person from being all the way over here to all the way over there? He encountered Jesus. And one of the things that we see here, and there's some background information for you to know, is that there are people rising up in the churches of Galatia. There are people rising up and saying, oh no, you know what? Paul's a bit of a wingnut. He's way over there. We don't listen to him. We've got some better teachings for you. And they were discrediting Paul. And Paul says, I am an apostle. He says that he was called by God, not by man. Think about this. He's not someone who grew up in a Christian church and people loved him and saw his passion and patted him on the back and said, you know what, one day you should be a pastor. And he said, you know what, I think that's a good idea. Instead, Jesus, after his life, death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, he's already back on the throne in heaven. He comes down from heaven and knocks Paul around. Basically beats the man up. And it takes that type of a violent interaction with Jesus and realizing who God is. Jesus saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That he is utterly changed and transformed. Wow. That's what does the change, is it's the encounter with God. And what he's saying is that personal, unparalleled meeting with Jesus is what his authority is based on. And he's sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. This, many of the books in the Bible are written to individual churches. Like to Hoffman Street Baptist Church, to Colossians, things like that. This particular one is to the churches of Galatia. It's multiple churches. This would be a letter that would be sent out and circulated among churches in a region. It would be like a letter to all the churches in Northwest Indiana. Or Jesus being someone who usually used the vernacular of people's area, the region, to the churches of the region. So this isn't just one church that's having this problem, and it's something that's spreading like an infection through the entire area, and all the churches are struggling and finding problems. And he says, grace and peace from our God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. It's unmerited. Didn't do a darn thing to deserve it. I know we often have this tendency to, when things go wrong in our lives, say, why me? I'm a good person. I didn't deserve anything like this. I want to tell you that not a single one of us in this church is a good person. We are all sinful. The Bible says from our mother's womb. Jesus says that the words of the mouth and the actions of our hands come not from what's outside, but what's inside. Good trees produce good fruit, and bad trees produce bad fruit. And the fact that bad fruit comes out is evidence that we are bad inside. And what he says is grace to you. Grace is anything we get that we don't deserve. Every breath we take is grace. Every meal we're able to eat, every moment without pain, every moment with pain, it's grace. And then there's peace. And as a Jew, he would have been very familiar with the word shalom. And this, we don't really grasp this word in our context. We have this tendency to look at it and say, hey, peace, no war. But what it is it's everything in a person's life being fluid and going well, and everything from health to emotions to external relationships, everything being in this sense of utter peace that can only come from God. And who does it come from? God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what has he done? Jesus gave himself to deliver us, to gave himself for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus, his death on the cross. Think about it. Think about the brutality that he endured. That was for your and my sins. Every time we've lashed out in anger, all of our sexual sins, thought, word, and deed. Anytime we've ever stolen anything. Anytime we've ever lied. And also for the things we haven't done. The things that we should have been doing. Those times when we should have reached out to a neighbor. Those times when we passed someone on the street and instead of buying them a meal, we complained in our mind about how they smelled. The things we've done and the things that we have left undone, as one of the old church creeds says. I know that there are two tendencies within Christians. One is to view either the world as good and individuals as bad, which is generally on the more fundamentalist side. Churches like ours we're both pretty messed up. But There's a tendency sometimes from some to look and say, all right, the world is bad, people are good, or the world is good and people are bad. I think I said that the same way both times, but you get the mixed, vice versa. And what we find is we need to be delivered from this evil age because it is a product of who we are. Generations of people who, thousands of years, of people who have been sinful from their mother's wombs, is what has created society. And we need delivering from it. Think about it. Have you ever watched the news? I get so depressed watching the news or reading the newspaper. Even if it's the sports section, because I'm a Cubs fan. That curse is a sign of the curse of earth. But the amount of people I know who have been sexually assaulted, the manipulation and taking advantage that people do, the murders that go on, the muggings, the violence, the greed. can't watch the news and think, ah, the earth, this age is a wonderful age to be in. And there were different little idiosyncrasies back in the time of Paul, but it was the same way. And what we find is the sacrifice and the dedication of Jesus on the cross is what has the power to change that. It's not us. I heard this from another pastor, and I was joking about it this morning with Brother Jerry, but us thinking that we are the solution to the problem of this sinful, evil age is like coming to put out a fire and saying, hey, I've got buckets of kerosene right here. The only thing that can change it, the only thing that can heal your pain from the sins that have been done against you, and everyone has been sinned against, is Jesus. It's from knowing that he died on the cross. That in doing that, he identified with the fact that you were assaulted. For those who, of all of us, we have sinned, and Jesus died in place of us. I'm not going to actually wind up doing the final six verses, five verses that I had planned on doing today, because this is so powerful. We need a return to the gospel. But a little bit of a preview for next week is those in the church were adding to the gospel. They were putting things on top of the gospel, reading the gospel through light of other things. And one of the things that we will find is Jesus plus anything does not equal Jesus. Not your works. If you say, I'm saved because Jesus died for me and I did this, that, and that, it does not count. And many of us may know this in our minds, but the way that we behave, the way that we respond to people is very much so that we say, well, you need to meet Jesus, you need to do this, and then dun, 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 dun. And that's how you'll know you're saved. Yes, if you encounter Jesus, there will be a life change. He will change you, but it's not based on individual sins being overcome. It's not on some ritual or practice. It's not on identifying with anything other than Jesus, because he is the only one who has ever been righteous, has ever been good in the sight of God. We are all dirty, stained, marred, evil. And it's evidenced in our actions. It's evidenced in the way we treat people. But we've got good news for you today. The gospel that is so important to Jesus, that is so important to Paul here, is the same gospel we have. It's on Jesus and only Jesus, on his life, death, burial, and resurrection, that we can stand as righteous before God because he stood as dirty before God in our place. He can bring healing to your life. I feel like mentioning this to you, and I hadn't planned on it, but I know that it's prevalent in our church. Those of you who have been sexually assaulted, one of the first things that almost every woman does that has been sexually assaulted is take a shower because they feel dirty. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus is stronger than any shower. And that can wash you clean, not only of the sin that you have done, but also of the sin that you feel that is on you because of what has been done to you. We serve an awesome God. And there's an amazing gospel. And I want you to embrace it with all that you have. After we pray, Caleb is going to lead us in our invitation. And if you have a decision to make for Jesus or you need prayer, I would love to talk and pray with you. As Caleb leads us in our invitation, I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the cleansing power of the gospel. I thank you that you have done this to your glory forever and ever. And Lord, I ask that you would show us the gospel and the true power of the gospel far more clearly than we have ever understood. And Lord, I specifically pray for the women in our church who have been assaulted and the men. And Lord, we ask that your blood would bring healing, that your sacrifice would be enough, that this we would recognize that this sin is not bigger than you, is bigger than you. To your glory, by the work of Jesus, your Son. Amen.